I don't want anyone out there to be working too hard. I don't want anyone out there, and I'm talking about in the believing department, in the understanding God department. And probably this is a model for all other departments. We think that God expects the same out of everyone. No, everyone is to be doing and believing in accord with what God has given them. And God's gifts are varied. And so you shouldn't look at yourself and say that you have to attain to the standard of someone else because you don't. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 12. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 in itself, Paul is finally, after 11 chapters, he's now talking about how we should act, how we should be as members of the body of Christ. Up until this time, it's been doctrine. It's been teaching. This is Paul's way. He establishes people in truth, because that's the most important thing. We sit on the sidelines. Paul gives truth. He does the same thing in Ephesians. He teaches for the first 3 or 4 chapters, and then I think it's in chapter 5 he says, now here's how you behave based on what I told you. But here in Romans, it's so important when he gets around to telling us how we should be. And these are not commandments. These are exhortations. These are not laws. These are, well, since you believe all this great stuff, why don't you act this way? That would be great. And this is all it is. It's not forcing anyone to live a certain way. Romans 12:1, I am entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God, your logical divine service. Here's a good start. That's not the word I'm going to focus on, but your logical divine service. Paul's saying, it just stands to reason that if you have believed in your justification, if you have believed what I've told you in earlier chapters in Romans concerning peace with God and concerning the fact that God made this justification, made this peace apart from you. He did it apart from law. Based on that, this would follow, right? You'd be thankful, you'd be grateful, and it would be logical for you to do these things. Not required. It's your logical service, not your required service, not your do this or else service. So this is not Romans 12:1. It's not your typical go out and perform for the Lord Christian message. No, this is Paul's message. Your logical divine service, not to be configured to this eon, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well-pleasing and perfect. Paul is not asking anyone to do anything heroic here. We're not looking for heroic faith that would get you burned as a martyr at the stake. We're not looking for that here. We're only looking for that which God has worked into you. You can't work out anything more than what God has worked in. This is why you can't condemn yourself if you're not up to some standard. Many times you're measuring your standard by someone else. You're measuring your standard by seeing what someone else has been doing. You think you ought to be doing the same thing. Maybe not. And probably not. Not to be configured to this eon. We know this eon is wicked. I told you about that last week. And to be configured to it is to align yourself with it. And most of the time we think of sins and we think of how evil the world is. Don't become evil like the world. But another thing the world likes to do is they like to compare themselves with themselves. They like to compete. They like to keep up with the Joneses. And we're not looking for that here, not even in the realm of faith. Do not be configured to this eon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well-pleasing and perfect. Here it is. Verse 2. For I am saying through the grace which is given to me to everyone who is among you. And here is a very strange word Concordant uses. I got it in my dictionary, Merriam-Webster.com here, because it's a rare word. It's actually an archaic word. I'm going to tell you what it means after I finally get around to reading it. I'm saying through the grace. There's the key. I'm saying this, Paul says, through the grace that has been given to me. From Romans 12 on, when Paul's talking about behavior, I don't know how many people get tripped up by this. Why is Paul telling us to do certain things? Why is Paul exhorting us to behave well? He's doing it by through the grace which is given to him. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 1, the grace of God overwhelmed Paul. He knows that he was not worthy of the grace of God. Now he's taking that same knowledge. He's not pretending that you're any different. He's not pretending that he's going to ask you to do something that he could never do. No, he's through the grace of God given to me, this is what I'm telling you. And it's very personal. It's very loving. And Paul just wants everyone, if they can, to live a good life. To be a living letter. To be a good testament to the truth that is inside of us, which is ideal. I am saying through the grace which is given to me to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening, beyond what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition as God parts to each the measure of faith. This is loaded. This is great. Not, Paul doesn't want anyone to be overweening. Now this is the wean, W-E-E-N, not W-E-A-N, is an archaic word. It's a transitive verb. It means to believe. The concordant dictionary in the back of the concordant literal New Testament says to be overdisposed. Overdisposed. So this is really interesting in that it is possible for you to overbelieve and to be overdisposed beyond what your disposition must be, for God gives to each the measure of faith. Wow, this is so much relief here for you and for me. So much relief. We don't have to be overbelieving. We don't have to be overdisposed. We don't have to be pushing the envelope beyond what God has given us. Maybe God has given someone else more faith and they're doing things. And you look at them and you say, I wish I could do that. I wish I could believe that way. I wish I had their peace. I wish I had their... And these are all within the body of Christ. Inner family considerations here. But you don't, you can't. And if you force yourself to overbelieve beyond the measure of belief God has given you, you're going to wreck. You're going to operate your train at an unsafe speed because it's not meant to go as fast as you're trying to make it go, and it's going to jump the tracks. You're better off laying back, understanding that God has given you a certain amount of faith. Might not be as much as that person over there, but that's okay. Paul's giving this specific instruction. I'm saying this to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening, overbelieving, not to be overdisposed beyond what your disposition must be. You have a regulator. You have an internal regulator given to you by God. And Paul calls this what your disposition must be. It's been determined by God. This is what it must be. And it will not be anything more until God decides it should be more. And it's exactly where it's supposed to be. And you can't condemn yourself, because by condemning yourself, you're by extension condemning God, who's the one who has given you the regulator, the one who has said this far and no further. I'm giving you this much faith. That's all you're going to have right now. And you're like, I wish I had more faith. God says, I know, but for now, this is what your disposition must be. And I don't want you overbelieving beyond what beyond the disposition I've given you. Isn't this a relief? Because you're not measuring yourself against anyone else. You're not measuring yourself against Christ. It's not like this, what would Jesus do? Isn't that movement in Christianity? Doesn't this verse really make that look like the insanity that it is? Because people are measuring their faith against Jesus Christ's faith. But maybe that's not what their disposition must be. Maybe God has given them more of a measure of faith than he gave Jesus Christ. And that's okay. I don't want you condemning yourself over that, and neither does Paul. Beyond what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition as God parts to each the measure of faith. A sane disposition. Do you want to be driven insane? Do you want to be driven nuts? Do you want to lose your peace? then try to perform, try to do, try to be, try to believe outside of what God has given you, beyond of what God has given you. Try, and many people do try that. And they can't do it. Why? Because God's only given them a certain measure of faith. But when they can't do it, they condemn themselves. They feel guilty and they wonder, what's wrong with me? When really, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the fact that this is what God has given you and He's decided to give you no more. So let us be of a sane disposition. We all want to be sane. And so this is another way of saying, this is the spiritual version of the financial saying, live within your means. If you outspend beyond your means, you will vex yourself with many, many trials. You will go into debt and you will struggle to pay that debt. And that debt has interest attached to it, and you will pay more and more and more than you even originally signed up to pay for. Same thing in the spiritual world. Yes, if we try to live beyond our means, beyond the means God has given us, then we will not be of a sane disposition. We will be overweening, that is, overbelieving, overdisposed on top and beyond of what God gave us. Are we wiser than God to try to outperform what He has done within us? No. Let's live within our means and let's live a sane life.